Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, the podcast for serious lacrosse players and their supporters to help further their development and navigate their way throughout their lacrosse careers. And now, here are your hosts, New England Lacrosse Journal's Kyle Devitt and Jack Piatelli.
Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt. Alongside me, the man, the myth, the legend, wearing a Cornell lacrosse sweatshirt, Mr. Jack Piatelli. How we doing?
Doing well. Feeling well. I'm still here. It's just such a pleasure to see you today. You know, you're not only one of the best writers in the country for lacrosse, you're one of the best-looking guys, you know, and anytime I get to spend time with a clock grad, it just makes my day.
I actually, don't really have words to follow that up. I'm very stunned by this, and you have successfully prevented me from having a great intro, so thanks a lot, Jack.
And people ask me about the podcast. I go, who's this guy, Kyle Devitt? Is he the guy that writes for New England Lacrosse Journal, right? I go, yeah. You know what? To be honest with you, I hate to say this, but, you know, he's become my friend. I never thought it would happen, but, you know, we're friends now.
I know. No one thought it would happen. Mostly because of the generation gap.
Thanks for bringing that up.
I'm just saying. But hey, speaking of a guy with a lot of experience.
And a generation gap.
We have on as our guest today, Jim Murphy from Bentley University.
30 years at Bentley. The only coach to coach lacrosse, the varsity lacrosse at Bentley. Also had a great career with the Boston Cannons. Again, one of the great guys in the game. Give his heart and soul. Got a great history with his alumni. And Bentley University is a tremendous academic school, and he's built a very good lacrosse program.
The Falcons compete in the NE10, which, you know, you hear me say this a lot. There are a lot of great conferences across all divisions. NE10 is right up there with them. And can't wait to hear about his experience building this entire program from almost nothing into what it is now. Here's Bentley University head coach, Jim Murphy.
Head coach and one of the best looking coaches in all of college lacrosse, Jim Murphy, Bentley University. Coach, thanks for joining us today. And how are you?
Great. Thank you very much for asking. Thanks for having me, more importantly, and sharing your platform. Hopefully, I have some insight that is beneficial to everybody.
Coach, were we too far to make the trip to studio? Or
I wish I had the time. I would gladly come there. The problem is I would probably never leave, because that means I would probably have to come back here. So I love the place, but I can't escape enough to get there. And I hope the invitation is open, that I'll be a guest host someday, even if I just sit there and, as Jack said, put my pretty face out there.
Yeah, the problem is we'll have to bring your brother on with you, who is a national referee.
Then I clearly would not be able to get a word.
Yeah,
in.
I was going to say
I would just be sitting there being a pretty face.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to say you guys look similar, but kind of look similar.
I just look younger and I'm older, though. But I'll let that be.
That's fair.
Said later.
That's fair, Coach. Division II, kind of a mystery to a lot of people listening to the podcast. There is a strong Division II presence in New England with the NE10, which I have said on record, and I still believe, is the best top-to-bottom conference in Division II easily, and one of the top five in D1 or D3. You've kind of built a program. You've been there, I don't want to say forever, it's a little reductive, but for a long time, and you've had a great tradition of producing student-athletes that not only do well on the field, but go out into the workforce and then kind of come back to you. Your alumni connections are really strong.
It's outstanding, first of all, to be at a university like Bentley. This is my 30th season here. I've been here a little bit longer because of getting things going. That alone makes it worth showing up every day, to be here with quality young men, be at a great institution. But as you mentioned about the alumni, their ability to do so well and then continue to be interactive with us. But yes, with the Northeast 10, that is one of the great pleasures of being in this conference, is that we have great programs, great coaches, great kids across the conference. And so as competitive as it is, it's also an enjoyable experience getting to know so many of them over the years and then continue because of being here so long, you know, to the point where I have players on my team that I've coached their fathers, but also outreach across the conference with so many that have gone on into the coaching profession or other ways of meeting them. It makes it great that, you know, being in a quality conference, those connections and networks continue to grow. And I hope that it stays that way.
Coach, I was fortunate enough to be at your game, semifinal conference game at Bentley versus Pace. And I got to be honest with you, it was a great game. Could have gone either way. The level of play was very impressive. Not a lot of mistakes made on the field. Great athletes, very talented, skilled. For those who have not gone out and watched a Division II game or Bentley play, that's as good as I've seen. And I've watched a number of lacrosse games, but that was a very well-played game. Unfortunately, you lost that game, but compliments to that conference and the level of play, how far it's come in the last 10 years.
It's a testament to the student athletes. You know, Pace that day they were a great program, very well coached, great kids, beyond the lacrosse field, what they do in the community. For us, it's what we also talk about. It's for our players. We stress the fact that why they're really here, that's to get an education. The lacrosse part is a benefit to all the, things they can be doing. But, that game alone was, just a back and forth to, two groups of players that, left it on the field. Unfortunately, it was a little too little for us, but you know, we didn't look at it as it was a loss. It was a learning experience. I say every year we're a successful program because all of our players are graduating. They're getting jobs. But within that game alone, within our conference, being Division II, that middle road, a lot of people are unaware of really what Division II is. I mean, they understand it, whether it's Division I, II, and III. But we have to keep in mind, you know, for the programs in our conference, especially, why the students are student athletes, the amount of time that we're able to put in and not put in. But with that quality balance, we make sure that, the effort that we are out on the field, means every repetition matters. And those games and any game, we're lucky that, the players want that time dedication, that competitiveness, but also the sacrifice and commitment. And those are words that we throw out there generally at times, but we're able to have a deeper discussion with our players and why those terms mean something. And I think it's that way across our conference too. And in that game, you know, two very competitive teams that are committed to what they're doing and the sacrifices that they put forward up to that game and continue to do it, it plays out great. Because every minute's worth it for them.
So you've been at Bentley since they started the lacrosse program. You're the only head coach in the history of Bentley's lacrosse program.
At the varsity level, it was club program. It was a great club program. I was very fortunate to walk into a program that was very well established, some great players. Then the continued knock on the door of the new athletic director kind of brought some light to the need for it becoming a varsity sport. Somehow I got a phone call and said that they wanted to talk to me, and I'm not sure why they called me, probably just ran out of names to call. And it worked out great. I wouldn't trade a day of what I'm doing here. It's every day is a learning experience, no matter how you look at it. And I'm just the most fortunate guy in the world to be around the quality young men that we have. But like I said, it's also within our conference. You know, there are players that I bumped into being here as long as I have at the varsity level, coaching other sports here. But then even as it went on into the Boston Cannons for 15 years, the number of players from our conference that contributed and actually were part of the Major League Lacrosse, it makes every day worth waking up and showing up.
And that's interesting because that means that I have coached against you twice. Once when I was at Franklin Pierce 2005, and once when I was with St. A's in 2006,
yep.
I do not recall. I am almost positive we did not win at Franklin Pierce. That year, we did not have a ton of talent, but I think that St. A's game was pretty, I think we did pretty well. But you mentioned you are also connected with Major League Lacrosse, which is something that I have a long background covering, and I've been on the sideline watching you coach there and helping run the box and doing all the adjustments that you've done for so long. You've had a hand in kind of developing the identity of the Boston Cannons as an assistant coach for them, and being a head coach at D2. I think one of the things that people don't realize is at the pro level, the assistants are kind of the guys that really connect with the players and kind of develop the players and have those kind of relationships. Obviously, the head coaches do too, but the pro level, like, everybody's got an opinion on somebody at the pro level. No one has no opinion, which is why I loved it. It's very different from college. If you haven't kind of parsed that out, if you're not a pro fan, I understand. But I am, and I loved covering it. And I never heard a bad story about you. So I wanted you to know that. And I don't know why, but I haven't. I kind of think that's because there aren't any, at least from the pro guys.
I'd probably have to put that up for debate. But the question or the statement really would be is, It was a great experience. I remember day one of sitting down with, at the time, general manager Dave Gross, being on a conference call with Scott Hiller, living out in Chicago at the time, and pretty much got hired sitting there. And I just told him once I finished talking with my agent, I would get back to them. And the look on Dave's face that was about agents, and I said, let me talk to my wife. And then at that point, I said as long as I was going to enjoy the experience, I would continue to do it. Even though I stopped doing it, it was not because of lack of enjoyment. It was more because at that point I realized I had to spend time doing some other stuff for 15 summers, whether it was coaching officially with the program or doing camps and other stuff and continuing to recruit in my job here at Bentley University. I still enjoyed it. I still fortunately am able to stay in contact with the coaching staff quite a bit. But I was very lucky to coach with five great coaches, head coaches, many other coaches and other people within the organization. So it was a great learning experience for me. And I felt that if I was going to ask my players to go home in the summer and put extra effort in and get better and do something, I felt it was my responsibility. And so that was a great way of doing it. And I continue to do that through watching a lot of cross, whether it be at the club level or, you know, throughout the spring, once our season is over, go watch high school programs. You can always learn. So if I'm going to ask anybody in our program or anywhere to get better at the game, it's imperative that we do the same thing as the coaching staff. But bad stories about me, I'm sure I could share quite a few with you, but the experience was outstanding. The number of players that we would bring in, being part of not only the coaching part of it, but the drafting process and the scouting process, it made me a better coach here. So that's why I started such a great educational experience, because it allows me to come in here and still have that drive, determination, and hunger to continue to be better. And when you coach at that level, you're with them so small of a time that I learned that you have to put together a lot of things and be able to make adjustments very quickly. As much as I thought I could do that at the time here before that involvement with the pro league, I realized it's going to have to happen a lot faster, or the game's going to pass you by within that day.
Yeah, you coached, you know, legends of the sport, you know, Paul Rabil. I'm sure that you have a great Paul Rabil story somewhere. Maybe you can't tell it on the podcast.
I can remember the day we drafted him.
Yeah, yeah.
We were down in New Jersey and making the blockbuster trade, and to get him at the number one pick. And then I'll leave the rest of the story, how the rest of the day went for us. But and then many years after that, but it was, you know, it was that something that you dream of. It's fantasy league stuff for real. There were some people making big investments to make it happen, but that's fantasy league every day. And it mattered. So it wasn't that we were gambling with somebody else's money. It was the fact that it mattered to us, and it mattered to anybody that was going to put on a Cannons uniform or be part of the organization. So you know, when you have those players that were part of our organization, whatever period of time, it's pretty exciting.
I'm not going to say I told Mark Caster to make that trade, but I told Mark Caster to make that trade.
I know you're on the hotline with him. I could see you, like, Mark wouldn't get off the cell phone. So as BD and I was sitting there, probably sharing a pizza, Mark. I think he got the crust.
Oh, man. So great.
Trivia question. Boston Cannons trivia question.
Ooh.
Who was the gentleman that used to fire off the cannon for the Boston Cannons?
The greatest guy in the world. And I can say that because he was my father.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Absolutely. Started back my first year coaching. We're at Lowell. There was presently a person shooting the cannon at Lowell at College Stadium. Obviously, my father being a Marine for 43 years. So he had to go down and talk with the guy. Had a great conversation. Said, hey, let me come down and help you. Then the next thing you know, he's doing it there. We moved to BU, and he owned that corner of BU, you know, field. And then he loved to give tours and talk with people. Next thing you know, he had a great fan base, not only at the Cannons games, but when the other players would come into town, he became a celebrity. And everybody wanted to come shoot the cannon. And I think many a times he was willing to do that if he didn't care about losing his license. But no, it was great. It was a family affair. My mother would be at every game. She looked at all the players as their kids. I got pushed to the back of the line, which was fine with me. And it was nice because, like I said, he felt part of it. The family felt part of it. It made my weekends more enjoyable having family around. And I can't tell you how many times that, you know, we were going to dress up to go somewhere for a dinner, and mom and dad would have a cannon shirt on or a cannon jacket on, and they were the biggest promoters of the program or the organization. So it was great. It was family weekend for me. As much as I had to coach, I still knew after the game that someone was going to give me a hug. And I'd still hear I made a bad decision, but that's okay. I grew up that way playing sports, and they waited till it was the right time to tell me that I goofed up.
Coach, obviously, Bentley's known for its business school, being around for so many years, but they've really taken a great turn with their athletics and their facilities. Talk a little bit about that. I know you're involved in managing some of the facilities, but since you've been there, they've really made a great investment in their athletics and facilities with the new hockey rink and all the fields, and it's really an impressive campus.
It's been great being here that many years. Obviously, there's a lot of change at all universities, but fortunately, the direction of the athletics program, the university itself, the commitment from the university, from the president to the board of trustees, more so in recent years when money may be a little bit difficult to come by and or how to spend it on university campuses. We were very lucky that having that connection with the board of trustees, the president, and other people throughout the university administration that understood that for it to be a quality campus, a lot of schools can go out and get the top level students. Bentley was very integral in finding to make it an exciting campus, to diversify the campus, but also understand that what sports can bring to a campus. And that's where it's not only athletics facilities, it's our campus facilities. So I love to say from 7 p.m. beyond, it turns into a recreational facility. The fields are being used. There's soccer games going on, flag football, kids throwing baseballs, frisbee, on top of just the general student population out there using them. We have a great intramural program as well as our club sports. And so having that, it's easier to then go to the administration and the people on campus with the backing of the athletic department and say, hey, we need better this, we need more of that. If you want to satisfy the needs for the campus wide use, obviously, yes, we benefit from it as being a sport and as a men's lacrosse program, but the university benefits. So Bentley has a great vision when it comes to what's going to benefit the whole campus. We obviously reap the rewards. Having a great arena, it's not only just the hockey rink. That's why it's not called the rink. It's the arena because it gets used for multiple things beyond athletics, but also it allows us in athletics to use it for us, bringing back alumni to hockey games or other things that are going on campus in that setting. And it allows them to have something new when they weren't here. But the school understands the importance of doing things right the first time instead of, well, that was a good attempt, but now what do we do? And we have to do it again. So the school would rather take a little bit of time in doing things, and they've done a great job in that. and it's continuing with the new athletic director, his vision and what he's trying to do. Vaughn Williams has, you know, broadened the spectrum of, you know, what's next, and it's really exciting. And the changes over the years where our soccer field, baseball field, and the arena is, used to be a farm. So I go that far back to, you know, the grass field versus the old AstroTurf, where the next generation after the first one put down had sand in it. And when you fell on it, it was like falling on asphalt. You left more skin down on the turf than you anything. But knowing that that wasn't going to suit what we needed, the school decided the commitment monetarily to get better and find the right stuff and what's going to be best for our student athletes. So that whole growth has made things significant in how the school has moved forward, and it continues to move forward. They want to always be proactive instead of reactive. So fortunately, athletics has been a big part of that outlook.
Like, one of the things that our listeners are always concerned with when we talk with a coach or interested in, I should say, is the difference between their school and other schools around them. And for you guys, you're a Division II school with a business, kind of front-forward business as your major. What is the difference between, let's say, so we had Coach Rocky Batty on from Babson. What is the difference between Bentley and Babson, and what is the difference, and how does that carry over into the difference between Division II and Division III?
Comparing the two schools, and I would say the programs, is a good way to look at it. We're extremely similar. We're looking at the same type of student athlete. The difference between two and three is different depending upon where you're looking. I would say we're very similar to them when it comes to the D2, D3 look, instead of the separation of scholarship money that is available with the 10.8 equivalencies within Division II. That's not on our table. So that's where we kind of get closer to them. But the difference really is, what do the students want? We're a little bit different campus. We I wouldn't say specialized, but our focus academically is a little bit different. So there are students that think that, you know, the entrepreneur world, we have that here, but, you know, that's what Babson's known for. We have other things here with the different and the growing curriculum that we have here, and not only the majors, but the minors and the other programs that we have. We're similar, but, you know, it comes down to what does a student athlete, it's their decision anyways. I've always told people, I don't want to be the person to convince them that Bentley is the right place for them. I'm here to offer information. Then it's their decision with themselves, their family, and whomever else is helping them. I know Coach Batty does, you know, his recruiting in some ways similar to us, but different because of the campus, the location. You know, we're both in great locations, no matter where we're at when it comes to Wellesley versus Waltham. But it's, you know, what type of learning experience do you want? We have some stuff they don't have. They have some stuff we don't have. So if we're looking at the same recruit, it's really important, extremely important for that individual and whomever they want to be part of the process to come to each campus. I'm the first person to tell them, take a piece of paper, put a line down the middle, put all the things you liked about it, all the things you didn't like about it. When you come back to deciding what you want to make a decision on, you can refer back to that page and not only do it for us. If it was Babson, it was someplace else. It was someplace that isn't even, it may not have anything to do with lacrosse. But then it's up to them and whomever's helping them to have that approach that what's best for them. And so we go through that process every day with every athlete that we're recruiting. Obviously, for schools like ourselves and Babson, the most important element is the transcript, what courses they've taken. People always ask, you know, what GPA do you need? And I tell them GPA isn't a factor. It is, but it isn't. It really comes down to the courses that you take and how well you did in those courses, but not only the courses, what level of courses. So that's where we're similar with Babson. When it comes to what curriculum you took in high school, that opens the door. That's the one to get the foot in the door. Now the door opens more wide when there are other aspects of, I like to call it your resume, not so much your application. What your resume as a high school student athlete brings to the table, that decision is made by admissions, and all the other parts that come together. We're really the facilitator. I love to call myself a paper pusher. and an idea thrower to make sure that the people in admissions know. But as I'm talking with student athletes, their families, and whomever else, their coaches, high school coaches and club coaches, it's everybody's different. Every story is different, and every approach is different. But the one approach that I stick to is it's their decision to make, and we're here to offer the information. I'm not going to ever tell anybody that this is the best place for them. That's for them to decide. I'm here to offer the information, who we are, what we are, how we coach, what we stand for, what's the chemistry of the team, what's the character of the team. And then when that all plays out, and I know, knowing Coach Batty very well, he such an outstanding person, great coach, and always looking to do what's best for his student athletes, as well as I know if one of my players want to talk to him, he's going to offer the same information that he would offer to his own guys, no different than I would do for his players. Not in regards to, hey, come to Bentley, it's what can I do to help you? It's no different than we've had recruits in the past that chose to go to a different university, whether it's to play lacrosse or not. I've always said, please don't lose my number. If there's ever anything I can do for you, feel free to reach out. We'll make sure it's within the NCAA rules, regulations, and I'd do whatever I could for you. That's where the personal side comes to the professional side. I don't think any coach should ever lose the personal side to it.
See, we're discovering more common ground because I, too, am a paper pusher and idea thrower. Yeah. I enjoy that. That's why we get along. That's sometimes why Jack and I don't get along.
Yeah, very different. Well, if they gave me the power to put the stamp of approval on things, I'm not sure the school would look the same. But, that's why I have a pay grade, and there are a lot of people above me with bigger pay grades.
One of the things I really want to kind of drill down on a little bit more is the difference really, but like what makes Division II unique? Because I think the perception of it is that, oh, they have scholarship money. That's why it's different from D3. It's the only reason. And it's not. And I'm going to posit this as a very positive part about Division II. There are way fewer Division II schools than there are Division III schools by tens of
hundreds,
any measurement. So really, if you're going to a D2 school and you want to have a chance to win a national championship, don't you think it's a better chance going to a D2 school than a D3 school?
Well, D3, there's roughly, and I don't know the exact count, but is roughly 300 plus schools, and they're constantly growing. Schools are always looking to make their campuses more excitable and enjoyable. And by having sports, as I talked about here, and the backing of the school here, changing the dynamic of a campus. So with 300 plus schools there, Division II, we're roughly now pushing 80. We're getting close to 80. And in the very near future, next couple of years, we're going to be almost identical to Division I.
Right.
So Division I will have their 80, we'll have our 80. And then there's 300 plus Division III schools. Does it mean anybody's going to get a better chance at playing in a national championship or getting to the NCAA tournament? It's reflected in then the tournaments are different. Obviously, in NCAA, they have their formulas and how things play out. The equitable formula, that what are the possibilities that everybody has equitable depending upon the North-South versus how many players are in, how many teams are in the tournament. Division III has a much larger tournament than Division II. Division I has a much larger tournament than Division II. So with that, I don't think anybody's coming to Bentley or some other Division II school saying, I'm going there just because I want to play in the national championship or win a national championship. There probably is, and I'm not being naive that some people may not look at it that way, but that has zero bearing on us. So I also go back to, I'm not going to really worry about that. If a player says to me, I'm coming to Bentley to win a national championship, I'm like, great, that can be at the end of our conversation as we're walking out to the car to talk about other things, about life. But let's talk about many other things first and why you're really coming to Bentley. And I'm guessing the majority of Division II coaches are having a similar conversation about why you're truly in Division III and Division I, why you're truly going to a university. And if lacrosse is part of that equation, great. But in Division II, it's the exciting thing about Division II, never mind just our conference, is there are schools that are fully funded with the 10.8 equivalencies. Division III, obviously, they don't have any, but creative ways of doing financial aid. Some schools have a creative way of doing financial aid plus have the 10.8 equivalencies. which is quite interesting in how they can package all the stuff. It's great to wake up and be able to come in and know that, okay, that's not something I have to look and see if I have an email about somebody's scholarship or equivalencies or all that. I can show up and do my work and say, let's go out and play lacrosse. And great part about it is keep doing the work, get the foundation built. And as soon as they hand in a piece of paper, you know you're going to have a job doing what you want to do, not just having a job. And so it's a great challenge that we face every day. But Division II, there are challenges because there are those schools that have a lot of money and resources versus some that don't have anything. And it's not just the lacrosse aspect of scholarships, but also, you know, what do schools have? What is the support of the school? You know, some schools may not have full support. It's, hey, let's get some numbers into beds and let's get some money. Let's keep some people active. Let's see what happens. And so there's huge difference between top, even middle, and then bottom. And there, I'm not saying one reason there's a top, a middle, or a bottom, but if we don't look at it that way, or programs don't look at it that way, I think some people might be fooling themselves.
New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal will return after this message.
The Men's Lacrosse Championships, where speed and power meets precision and creativity. And they give it everything they got, from face-off to the final whistle. Go big for every goal. Go beyond your limits and enter the NCAA universe. The Men's Lacrosse Championships, May 28th through 30th at Rentschler Field in East Hartford, Connecticut. Get your seats today at ncaa.com/mlacrosse.
Are you serious about playing your sport in college? Do you need a flexible education that allows you to maintain your practice and competition schedules while also preparing you to succeed at the next level? You should check out the University of Nebraska High School. UNHS is accredited and offers more than 100 online courses, including NCAA-approved courses to protect your academic eligibility. Students could earn a UNHS diploma or take a single course for transfer credit. Courses are college prep, self-paced, and available 24/7, 365. Enroll anytime and take up to a year to complete a course. Visit highschool.nebraska.edu today.
Looking to keep up with all the latest news and information on New England lacrosse? New England Lacrosse Journal and LaxJournal.com are the premier resources for information and inspiration on the New England lacrosse scene. Have every issue of New England Lacrosse Journal, the magazine, delivered to your home or office. And don't forget to stay in the game every day with a digital subscription to LaxJournal.com to receive daily digital lacrosse coverage on club lacrosse, college commits, prep and high school, Division I, II, and III colleges, showcases, rankings, and much more. Get in the game and behind the scenes now by logging on to LaxJournal.com. Just click on the subscribe button and start the subscription that is right for you today. New England Lacrosse Journal is a Siemens Media publication. Siemens Media. Inspiring. Informative. Insightful.
Coach, just to clarify, we're going to go back to the 10.8. So that, you know, just to do, I'm going to do math. So everybody buckle up. It's not going to be great. I am an English major. You should be, did they have math at Springfield? No.
They did.
Yeah, you didn't take it.
Actually, I took a business course, a couple of business courses. I have a business management major from Springfield College, not a PE major, believe it or not.
Wow.
Wow, I know.
That is staggering. So the 10.8 is, that's the cost of the university, the full ride, the full boat, times 10.8 is the total amount maximum that a school can give out in athletic scholarship. Is that correct?
My understanding.
Okay, yeah. I'm starting to
wonder if I passed the test to coach this year, but yeah, go for it.
Don't sweat. I'm on the NCAA page, so it is 10.8 for sure. Not every school has that total amount, though, right? That's the upper
level. Very few.
Yeah, I would say, especially in lacrosse, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So,
I mean, Division I, everybody thinks everybody's on scholarship. They're right. What, 12.6?
Right.
So, that's the old reality slap when, you know, hey, oh, I'm going there on a scholarship. I have a lot of guys on scholarship, but it's all academic. It has zero to do with athletics. Right. And I'm okay with that. Some schools that have athletic and academic and other stuff. But that's where not every school, I would say there's a lot less money in sports than people even can imagine. Never mind what's a reality.
Right. And to just kind of put it in perspective with other sports, right? Like if you're a Division I football program, you have 85 full rides to give out.
Yep.
Division II football program has 36 full rides or the equivalency thereof. So they can split that up however they want with the players. And you know, when I coached D2, it was a very small part of my job to do that because we didn't have 10.8 times the cost of wherever I was at either of the schools that I was at in the NE10.
Right.
And I'm not asking you for specific amounts at all, but I think It's important to highlight that to people that are looking at Division II, like, oh, I'll get money to go to D2. You might, but you might get like $2,000. You know, you might get like one, you know, something like that. It's very rare. And the same is true for Division I. You know, like I don't think anyone in the country is a full boat D1 athlete right now for lacrosse. Am I crazy?
There are different approaches to it because you have the scholarship and then you have financial aid. Then You have grant and aid, which is directed aid. Like if you can pay a certain amount, your family can afford $30,000 and they're going to give you $20,000 and the cost of school is $50, it's basically a full ride. But if you get some athletic money and some academic money, but your family can afford some money, that money that athletics gives you, if the school's going to give you academic money and you can afford $10,000 and the balance then is $12,364.17, they can give you that amount of scholarship. So as long as it doesn't get to that total number, 12.6 in Division I. So it's a crazy thing that compliance people have to deal with. God bless them in the work they have to do. That's not just a one-off because it's a continuing number.
Coach, talk a little bit about your academic abroad program that is off at Bentley. I've known a number of players that have taken advantage of that. How does that work? What I like about it, and you talked about it, it's life lessons. What's the end game coming out of Bentley? It's coming out of there and having an opportunity to have a great career in the business world, working world. But what I, again, like about it is there's not a lot of pressure or no pressure for your student athletes to take advantage of this program. I knew a gentleman that went to Rome a couple of years ago and studied abroad in Rome for 3 months, you know, learned so much living in Rome. And I mean, that in itself, he'll have for a lifetime.
Bentley is part of Bentley, their curriculum in offering the study abroad programs, all different places, all different countries, different programs. When we have that conversation with our players, I talk about if you see it as being beneficial, something to put on your resume, are you getting international business? And that's something that you see can enhance your experience while you're here, but never mind over there, and then bring back ideas. Talk to others about it. Is it something that you see as, hey, I may want to work for this type of corporation or be in this field. And by having that around my resume, it's something that somebody else looks at. You know, it's a matter of there's a lot of resumes on desk. It's what are the ones that gets looked, what are the ones that get looked at. So we understand that people want to do that. So we have the discussion, you know, is it truly something you see as going to be a benefit for the 3 months? Because when they're doing it, full lacrosse, they're doing it in the fall. By doing it in the fall, we have our full fall season. We understand that that's why they came to Bentley, having those opportunities to study abroad. The one thing we talk about them too about is great if you see that enhancing your experience, but not only now, but when you're beyond Bentley, it's very important that they also understand that they won't be here to be part of the team during that time. Obviously, nowadays, they're able to stay in contact, group chats, Zoom calls, all the things that they continue to do and now have a easier way or easier method of staying in closer contact more consistently, they aren't getting that personal bonding. So we express upon them, when you go, it's up to you. It's your responsibility to make sure you stay in touch. most importantly, find ways to get to know the new players that are on campus. You're not here to interact with them. You talk to your teammates that are here that you know and are in contact with all the time. Make sure you get to have a great sense. It's their responsibility when they get back to campus to make sure they're, you know, the person going to seek them out and get to know them before they are even stepping on the field. So there's a lot to it. The responsibility that comes with going to study abroad is significant academically and a lot of other things that are going on in the world. But from a lacrosse program, it's their responsibility to get back into it. And now they have to be the ones to get to know the new players. Those that didn't go study abroad have now spent 14 weeks with those newer players, spending time with them on the field, off the field, academically, other programs that we're doing, whether it be charity events or other stuff. So that interaction is significant. That's why we do so much while they're here. So those that are studying abroad, it's a great benefit for them. It's something they're doing to enhance their experience academically, socially, life-wise. But they also have to understand the responsibility of when they get back or while they're gone and then come back, that we can try and make it as seamless as possible. But it's outstanding because they get to go to great programs across the world for their major, or it's a different way of it's like taking a course on campus. They may not want to do that for the rest of their life, but it's always important to continue to want to learn. And when that opportunity is there for you, make the most of it. So it has been great for us. The players that have gone, they come back, they know what the responsibility is. So the conversation is very brief because not only am I telling them that, they're already asking the players who have gone to study abroad, what did coach say? You know, I'm afraid to go down to the office and tell them I'm going to study abroad. They know that by the time I have a chance to talk with them, they already know what I've said, not just the player the year before, but probably going back over 10 years because those stories, and it gets worse. I'm that mean guy who's going to throw something at them because we need them in the fall to win a scrimmage or, you know, I think if anything, sometimes that they need to make sure their interaction is back with getting to know the players that are new is showing what kind of leaders they are and them being proactive and being leaders instead of, oh yeah, I'm not really there, but I'll get to you guys when the time comes. So there's a lot of that what is missing they can still bring to the table when they're away, but it's a great experience. I know the players always tell me they're going to bring their sticks with them, and I tell them that's good. I mean, but I can bring a lot of things with me, but I never use them. I just pack them back up and put them back in my suitcase and come home and never use them. So it's up to them.
As a student athlete in high school, your point is ask a lot of questions, not only about the school, about the program, what financial assistance is available. Is it through financial aid? Is it through merit? Obviously, academics leads the way for all student athletes to take a look at some of the schools that they want to attend. It opens the door for so many of them. And then some schools may be able to give you some athletic scholarships, but it's very important knowing, like a Bentley does not offer any athletic scholarships, even though they are in a Division II, they're a Division II school in terms of lacrosse. Hockey's Division I at Bentley, but you're rare. The assumption is all Division II lacrosse programs offer scholarships. And to your point, it varies from school to school, division to division. So do your homework, study hard, and really, that's the message.
Absolutely. And I was just going to say that, as you said, you know, do your homework. It's for us to do our recruiting, we not only go watch players play, we get to know them. We speak with not only maybe their coach, whether it be their high school and their club or just high school or club. We also, myself personally, I try and reach out to the opponent's coaches of that player to kind of get to know what they think of them. Are they on the scouting report? What do you think of them? Are they one of those players that you would love to have on your team, but he goes to school with a different town or he's at a different club? So as we're doing our work, it's extremely important. I would hope to believe that families understand the investment of the time they put into research because it's directly going to affect them to do as much work as they can. Now, because I don't have the answers, it's hard to believe that somebody else will have all the answers through any research, but that's where it's just as important to come visit us and you do a campus tour, try and pop in and talk with people in admissions to get an idea of what their approach is. As the process moves forward, then obviously you'll probably be in more contact with financial aid. If somebody calls me up and asks me a question about financial aid as part of the process, or somebody who might already be here, I tell them, speak with them. I don't know where they're at with so many things. They're going to be able to tell you much more accurate information. It's something that I've probably heard from somebody. It may not be true factual information. So for people to, when they start exploring schools, you know, start your list for whatever reason, whatever pyramid you're going to build or whatever line down the middle of the paper. From there, it's important to continue to do stuff. Fortunately, with the internet, you can do a lot of research on your own. Some of it's factual, some of it's on the web. So it's important because of their initial investment, their continued investment to their son when it comes to a lacrosse program. That it's an important part of the process to do their work and their homework. And then when we're doing our conversation with families, we're always, what can you ask? And I hope I have the answer. If not, I will get back to you with it. So it as much as we're interviewing them, we love to tell anybody that comes to us, interview us. What do you want to know about us? And so not only us, myself, our program, but what else about the school? And when I don't have the information, it's important that you let them know who and how to go about getting some of that information of others on campus.
Coach, unfortunately, we're out of time. I do have a real quick one, though. Do you have your 2011 championship ring from the Cannons in your office?
No.
Where is it?
At home on a shelf.
Do you wear it ever?
Very rarely. It has to be a special event, a special occasion. I can tell you the last time I had it on was at my niece's wedding. And it's only because if it wasn't for my family, I wouldn't have been able to get one of those rings. Obviously, there's a lot of other things that come with getting a ring like that with the organization, the players and all that. But my family allowed me to have that ability to spend that time and do that. My niece was a big part of that. So it was a special time for me to have that. And So it has to be a special event like that to even think about pulling it out of the box that's on the shelf that says it's like I could in here. I don't have any my own personal awards up. Anything I have up or is around is all player related, school related, team related. I don't put personal stuff up only because I'm the luckiest guy in the world to be part of this. And I want to make sure that I'm letting people understand why I'm here. And it's not because of me. I'm lucky to be here every day, and I don't have to show up any day here for me. I get to come in here and be part of something that's great.
Amazing. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Coach, thanks so much for your time. Great to see you. I'm sure we'll see you on the sidelines tournament, and good luck with the season.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad for the time. I appreciate the time and the ability to speak with you guys. I know you guys are doing a great thing. Love to listen to your stuff, and you guys have made the sport a better place, especially around here. And well beyond here because of who you are and what you've done. And looking forward to seeing you both soon.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
Appreciate you, Coach.
You as well.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Take care.
All right, and that was Jim Murphy from Bentley University.
If you're from New England, I think most people know that Bentley is a very good school, business school. And I don't think a lot of people understand that they have a number of very good athletic programs. And Jim talked about the importance of the athletics, not only for the athletes at the school, but the entire community and the facilities that they've built for their athletes and their recreation programs. Because not only do they care about their athletes, they care about the entire Bentley community, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, and the Bentley experience. You know, I thought it was very eye-opening to talk about scholarships, something that a lot of coaches don't talk about. And he didn't talk about his specifically at his school, but the difference between D1 having 12.6 full rides and D2 potentially having 10.8. You know, not every school has that full allotment. But when you put that in perspective, it's pretty enlightening.
It really is. And players play for scholarships. Everyone thinks they're going to get a scholarship. It's really, that's not the reality.
No.
You know, study hard. You can get merit money by being in a high academic school, no matter what school you go to in the country. I know kids have gotten $25,000, $30,000 because they're very good students. They happen to be very good lacrosse players, too. But they're getting money for academics, not lacrosse.
Right. I just, if I can hammer that home so much, I can't tell you how many parents ask me about that or bring it up in conversation. Even me coaching at the high school level, parents will ask me, I'll be like, I don't think, I mean, we're a small school in New Hampshire. No one's getting D1 out of here. You know, it's a very real conversation that thankfully Coach Murph had with us.
Yeah, he really explained it well, and being around the game as long as he's had, he's seen so many different changes and really has a great understanding of the value of high school education, the importance of character, working hard, building a good culture, and being part of a family at Bentley University.
Absolutely. Just want to thank you once again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. For Jack Piatelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. See you next time.
You've been listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Also, listen to the podcast on the website, laxjournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @NELaxJournal, Instagram at New England Lacrosse Journal, Lax Journal on Facebook, and our email address, chasingthegoal@laxjournal.com. Join us again next time as we go chasing the goal. Chasing the Goal, a Siemens Media podcast.